Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Call in right now. If you are the 10th caller, you are winning tickets to see the Capitals and the Penguins in the good seats next Friday night. Great giveaway when you walk in the door with the 50th anniversary sweater. Game is November 8th, Capital One Arena, Caps and the Penguins. For tickets and the complete schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. Although we've got a bunch of these schedules up here. If you're a Caps fan, I've been passing out to people in the bar today for the 24-25 season pocket schedules. So you can come grab those. In addition to whatever's left of our 106.7 The Fan merch up front here when you get into the bar. We are out and about again. It is a Friday field trip.
Craft House in Fairfax. This place rules. I see all the beverages. I've got a nice tea. I've got some water. There's more beers than I could count both in the fridge and on Daryl Tap. All the foodstuffs are delicious.org. This place is awesome.
The local football team's defense got off to a rough start. Sometimes people in your life are going to struggle a little bit. That's when you need our guys, Kondori and Murad. They're the exclusive sponsor of this show. The law firm Kondori and Murad will guide you through the process of managing a health care or power of attorney, even securing a guardianship, conservatorship for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. That's kmlawyers.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. You get a discount if you mention your guys. In fact, part of the crew from Kondori and Murad came out for our event today, so we appreciate them supporting us as always.
Always love it, man. Those guys are really, 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 A, they're great dudes, but B, they're also awesome at what they do. They make a tough thing easy.
Coming up at 4:30 today, I want to talk about Johnny Newton. I thought he was excellent last week. Second-round pick, 36th overall, Illinois product, who is now getting more opportunity at D-tackle with John Allen hurt. Had 7 pressures last week. Penetrated and really did a nice job one-on-one winning with strength and power and speed. He looks like he can play. Last week was his week. Who's going to be the guy that breaks out this coming Sunday? We'll talk about that coming up in a little under a half hour. But it is time for our Beltway Blitz. We'll cover the NFL and the Wizards on deck and in the hole. Let's start with the Commanders. And our buddy Earl Forsey, who's keeping us up to date every half hour on the Fan. Earl, any nerves about the matchup with the Giants? Anything worry you about the 2-6 G-men as they match up with Washington?
Not at all. No, not at all. I know everyone is panicking because, oh, this is the kind of game that's a trap game. No, this team is different, Grant. I've talked about it a bunch with you guys throughout these 8 weeks now in the season. They're beating the teams they should beat, and many times they're beating them badly. And, you know, they're pulling out games like we saw last week, the play to win in Cincinnati, the miracle finish in Maryland last week, the Rays Hail Mary, and I wish more people would pick up on that. That was my idea. NFL Network, by the way, did use that once. But this is different. This whole thing is different. I don't know if you heard Jim Nance, who called the game with Romo, obviously,
so
this weekend. He was on with the Junkies this week. And this is a segment I'm going to do about, obviously, Jaden Daniels. And it's not just him. You mentioned Johnny Newton. The top 6 rookies, all contributors and main contributors, starters, basically, on this team. That's different from the last 4 years, 3 decades. So it's not just him. It's coaching. It's everything. Nance, though, was asked, and this is a topic, and I know Logan Paulson, he was on the station, too. He's not ready to make that jump yet, declaring Jaden Daniels, yeah, he is the guy. He wants to see more, and I understand that. Jim Nance, he's called 2 games now with Jaden Daniels, a quarterback. He is convinced.
The position has been conquered. Mm-hmm. You know, Washington has this quarterback for a long, long time.
Plain and simple, period. They found their guy, is what Nance is saying. And
put in Sharp.
I think they have. And yeah, I mean, he's not – there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He said he's got the poise, he's got the character, he's got the skills that you see in fourth and fifth year guys with reading defense. It's all true. We've seen it for 8 weeks. It's the NFL. You're not going to win every game, you know, unless you're the Dolphins in 72. But I would not worry too much about this game. I would worry. It's a division game. The Giants are kind of a pain in the ass, thorn in the side team. They always have been. Ron Rivera is not coaching the team anymore. Taylor Heineke's not the quarterback. I think they'll be just fine Sunday up in New York.
I'm amazed I could hear Jim Nance in that clip without Tony Romo talking over him. That's incredible. Great job cleaning up that audio.
And amazing, Danny, they won the game without putting Mariota in for the last play like Romo won.
Yeah, seriously, good suggestion. Thanks, Tony. Yeah. This weekend, the only concern I have is that Giants pass rush, which is good. And it's not just good for them. Yeah. It's good for anybody. They're among the league leaders in sacks and pressures and all that stuff. And Washington's been incredibly fortunate when it comes to not turning over the football. Sometimes your luck changes. That, to me, is the formula for the Giants. What say
of
you to
course.
That?
Yeah, of course, and I think that's how the Giants, that's why it was tight that last time. All field goals. They couldn't score a touchdown against that defense. It is a very good defense, and they've got, they upgraded there. While they didn't at quarterback, they made the deal for Brian Burns. Now, he's banged up. I didn't see what his practice regimen was today. I think probably he'll play. Obviously, Kayvon Thibodeau's been banged up for a while, so they're shorthanded there. They benched Banks, their defensive back, one of their top picks from a year ago, last week. So there's some chaos in New York with the Giants already. Brian Daboll is going to face the guy that we saw him, swoon over in the offseason Hard Knocks. I would say you're right with that, with the defense. But look, Danny, I put this out on X yesterday. ESPN has some great stats on part of this Commanders, surge has not just been Jaden Daniels in offense. They've gotten an amazing what good coaches can do, huh? They've gotten better on defense. They started slow. We know that. But the last, 5 weeks or so, weeks 4 through 8, they've been terrific. A lot of these categories, points per game allowed, total QBR allowed, third down percentage allowed for opposing offenses, all top 5 numbers in the NFL. They have increased their points allowed from 29.3 points per game the first 3 weeks to 15.8 the last 5 weeks, 4 through 8. That is nearly a 2-touchdown difference. You want to know why they're winning games? They have the third-ranked offense in the NFL. The defense is playing like that. It's a pretty simple formula. And you mentioned turnovers. They have 3 turnovers this year. That is tied for first with Buffalo in the NFL. That's a good formula. That adds up to where they are right now, first in the NFC East.
That's our guy, Earl Forsey. Founding member of the Insane Touchdown Posse, I believe.
My time of year, Grant, I have to say, who said it best? John Facenda. Now we're through Halloween. It's November 1, so.
Hopes that were high in the heat of September can wilt and die in the chill of November.
So it's crunch time in the NFL. It's my time of year. Can't wait.
Let's go, baby. We will be listening on Sunday morning.
Not
thank
how you,
you
start,
Earl.
It's how you finish. Yep.
And you hear that glass, it's your butt.
It's your butt.
Earl Forsey's about to cut some promos. All right, let's talk NFL on the Beltway Blitz. Our buddy Zach Kruger of Roto World joins us now. Zach, where do we begin? How about just a thought on the Giants and the Commanders from you from the national perspective?
What's up, guys? Happy to be on with you again. Obviously, it's a huge game for the Commanders. We know what they've been doing the last few weeks coming in. I think this is definitely a game where it's not just that they have to win it, but come out and show that it's not going to just be another field goal fest where you win it, six or seven field goals by their kicker last time. It's a huge game for them. We know that it has a lot at stake between playoffs, between a divisional push as the Eagles and Commanders kind of begin to separate themselves out across the NFC East. So there's certainly a lot weighing on this game, and I'll be interested to see how it plays out. They're beating all the teams they should beat, and now it's a chance to only add to that. And the fact that they haven't played, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they've played the Cowboys or the Eagles yet. There's a lot weighing on this with a few weeks to go until those matchups kick up. So it'll be exciting to see what they can do.
Zachariah, I want to start with Dolphins-Bills. This just feels like a can't-get-right season for Miami, right? If it's not one thing, it's another thing, and then it's probably 7 things. The next thing you know, they're right at the bottom of that division where nobody but Buffalo's got a winning record. Looks like Tyreek Hill is limited here this week. Why can't Miami get going now that they've got Tua back?
Yeah, so I will say this. Tyreek Hill, limited but expected to play. He popped up on the injury report on Thursday. That appears to be a maintenance thing, so we'll see what happens. Encouraging thing for him is they did have 8 catches for 72 yards in last week's loss to the Cardinals. That was his most since week 1. That's kind of the Tua being back effect. But it's really just kind of puzzling to see the way that defenses seem to have somewhat figured out this Dolphins defense. And then on top of that, you know, they're not as well defensively as they were last season. They struggled, I think, particularly against the run. Losing Christian Wilkins probably has a little bit to do with that. We know he went to the Raiders this offseason. So the Dolphins, they've got a few things to figure out. They got to figure out new ways to innovate their offense, and they've also got to figure out ways to improve defensively to kind of get back on track. And in an AFC East that's not great, but certainly as Buffalo continues to separate themselves, that's going to get tough. The Bills are looking at Amari Cooper, by the way, as a game-time decision this game. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, it's truly do or die now for the Dolphins heading into this game, I think.
So how about Jags-Eagles? The team chasing the Commanders in the NFC East is Philly. Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are both pretty banged up. What can you tell us about that game and what we need to know about Jacksonville?
Yeah, so Devontae Smith, a very interesting, did not practice on Friday. We don't even know why, as far as I can tell, unless it's changed before I hopped on here. But he said afterwards that he's going to be good to go for week 9, so we expect to see him out there. Dallas Goedert is looking to miss his third straight game with a hamstring injury that he just can't quite get right. So the Eagles, like you said, a little banged up on offense, certainly. Coming off a big win against the Bengals last week, certainly encouraging for their trajectory as they kind of have gotten a little bit more squared away the last few weeks. The Jaguars are you want to talk about a team that's hurting? It's the Jaguars. Gabe Davis, shoulder, he's a game-time decision. Brian Thomas Jr., a chest injury, considered a game-time decision, but early reports in this week said he could miss as much as 4 to 6 weeks. That seems to be corrected. He's been limited in 2 practices. I think Brian Thomas Jr. will play, but we'll see how things go come Sunday. And then Travis Etienne has missed the last few games with a hamstring injury. He's another game-time decision, obviously a key part of their offense, averaging just over 13 opportunities per game when he's healthy. If he can't go, it'll be Tank Bigsby, but if he does go, then Tank Bigsby is going to be kind of relegated to his backup role where he was seeing just over 4 opportunities per game in those games with Etienne. So 2 teams that are really banged up. Eagles obviously still have a lot to play for. Jaguars kind of, you know, looking to save what little bit of a season they may have left.
My theory on the NFC West is someone actually has to win it. This is a pretty big game, believe it or not. Rams-Seahawks, what do you know?
I know that Puka Nacua is once again on the injury report. He injured his knee yesterday in practice. Head coach Sean McVay did say that there's no structural damage to the knee, but Nacua is questionable after coming off a 7-catch, 106-yard performance in his return. If he doesn't go, we're probably looking at rookie Jordan Whittington, seeing a little bit more play behind Cooper Kupp in that game. And then DK Metcalf. Earlier today, it was announced that his situation for Week 9 was cloudy. It was recently announced that Mike McDonald said he will be out for Week 9. So that's another week that the Seahawks are going to be without DK Metcalf. Obviously, we saw that often struggle against the Bills. Turns out that when you're missing your hyper-athletic, 6'3" wide receiver who can jump and higher than everyone and run past everybody, can make a passing offense struggle. So we'll see what the Seahawks can do there. But I agree with you, Danny. Someone's got to win this division, and who it's going to be is really coming into question as everything kind of looks league average at best right now.
Zach, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Have a good one, guys. Take care.
You got it. Let's keep the blitz moving to the hardwood. That's right. The Wizards getting a little shine after consecutive wins over the Hawks, and because this weekend's a pretty big deal. Mexico City is where they are headed to take on the Miami Heat now. We will talk about the Wizards with a gentleman that covers them from Monumental Sports. Bijan Todd is with us. Bijan, how about 2 straight wins over Atlanta? I don't know what that says about the Hawks, but I feel good about that.
Yeah, man, it's a good time to be a DC sports fan. I think it says that the Wizards are growing into themselves a little bit with their rookie class, and things are looking up. Hopefully they get a win in Mexico City tomorrow as well.
Yeah, tell us about that. It may not be on everybody's radar just yet with us in the throes of the NFL season, but this is a pretty cool deal, huh? This is usually the NFL's territory to take it international. But this is neat that the Wizards are getting to do this.
Absolutely, man. And it's cool that they're going to field a team this young, too. They started the youngest lineup in franchise history in that second game against the Hawks that they won. And also, if there's 3 rookies in Sar, Carrington, and Keyshawn George, or top 4 in the NBA in minutes, so it's pretty cool that they're, they're this young. They're growing into themselves. Jordan Poole is out there scoring, 25 a game. And it's cool that they're going to get the international acclaim going down to Mexico City as well against a pretty good opponent. The Heat are going to be an interesting team to play against. So it'll be cool. We'll see how it goes.
Report card on the kids. Bilal Coulibaly rave reviews. How about the 3 rookie first-rounders?
So far, so good, man. The only thing I would say that we need to see a little bit more of is Alex Sarr knocking down his deep shot. That's one thing that we haven't seen yet, but he has looked good about it. And one thing that was interesting, too, I was out of practice yesterday, and I saw Corey Kispert actually working with him on his three ball, specifically catching the ball up high and not bringing it down before shooting it, which is a really interesting development that he's getting that kind of veteran tutelage from a guy who's known for his three-point shooting. But other than that, so far, I would give all the rookies, I would say, somewhere between a B-plus and an A-minus. And I think that's good because, again, they don't have a lot of NBA experience. They're only four games in, but they're top four in the NBA in minutes. Carrington is leading all rookies in scoring. In fact, he's the only rookie putting up double figures thus far. And just so far, their versatility has been very encouraging as well. They're all guarding multiple positions. Alex Starr looks like the defensive stud that we've seen so far. He's been staying with some of the big boys, and it's been good, man. Hopefully they can keep this train going with the increase in playing time.
Just so wild to hear, you know, that longtime graybeard veteran, 25-year-old Corey Kispert. Words of wisdom. Bijan, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you guys have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
Check out Bijan Todd at Monumental Sports Network. Does a good job covering the Wizards. Things are indeed looking up, as he said, in D.C. Sports. They pull up the rear, and yet they're even worth watching right now. Entertaining because they've made the youth movement. They've got the three first-round picks and the second-year developing star in Bilal Coulibaly. G&D with you on the fan. That there was your Beltway Blitz. Next, last week, Johnny Newton broke out. Who is going to be the commander that steps up and has their best game of the season this week in the Meadowlands? We'll get into that on the fan. We are live, out and about, Fairfax Corner. Crafthouse Fairfax today will be here until 6:30 on Grant and Danny.